not saying I'm gonna change the world. I do guarantee that I will spark a brain that will change the world. Welcome to the Mookie Mel Show. Truly, Mookie Mel. Welcome, everyone. I want to say thank you for coming back or joining us for your first time. I'm very grateful. Thank you for your time. It's greatly appreciated. We got an exciting episode 2 of the Mookie Mel Show lined up for us today. I just want to make a few points moving forward and just let you all know about some changes and adjustments that are going to be made to the show moving forward. Justice and I, Jigga Man, rather, and I greatly appreciate the feedback, you know, the positive and the criticism, the constructive criticism. It's greatly appreciated. We've been going through a little bit of everything and just trying to find what best works, and I really appreciate the feedback. Matter of fact, I actually write down all the feedback I get and come back to it at a later date. So that way I no longer remember who told me the feedback, but I can digest it for the content. A few changes that we're going to make moving forward is we're now going to call these subcategories, these subtopics, the three S's. And the three S's now stand for social, scholars, and sports. And with that being said, social makes it a better fit to relate to more people and topics versus entertainment and music. You know, that entertainment and music still falls under the social aspect, but now we can pertain it to dating or to pet care or to, shoot, dinner, fast food. So that's fun. That's exciting. That's one of the changes. But y'all will, you know, hopefully notice some of the other changes, or maybe you won't notice. It'll just seem to be a better show. But I just wanted to update y'all that, you know, we pay attention to that stuff and we digest it. So thank you. Please keep the feedback coming. Please keep reaching out to me and let me know what you all think. Before we get too heavily in today's show, I just want to hit a few serious points. Obviously, we're going to have fun. We're going to joke. Per usual, you know, this is the Mookie Mel Show. But I want to make sure I say a few things before we dive into today's topic and get further along in this discussion. I just want to hit a few points, as I was saying. One, let's go on today's show respecting each other's opinion, whether you agree or disagree. Second, let's commit to listening. If you're watching this show or decide to have a conversation regarding the show after about certain topics, try to listen to whoever you're talking to or engaging in conversation with. And three, this might be the hardest one. If you find that the person you're discussing with has an opposing opinion, respect that, listen to it, and then come back to the opposing opinion at a later date. Now, let me reiterate, at a later date, when you're no longer in the moment, you know, sometimes we get overwhelmed in the moment in heated debate or conversation that we aren't thinking at our best nor at our clearest. Okay, now, let's have some fun. Let's get into it, y'all. The topic of the day is sexuality. And the reason I wanted to pick this is because, well, one, sexuality has so many parallels to racism. And it's really uncanny. And, you know, sometimes you'll hear about it, but I think it's so, they correlate so well, we almost like try to avoid it. It's the elephant in the room majority of the time. You know, some of the oppressions, you know, segregation and unjust treatment of, you know, sexual preference and racism are so similar. It's literally a parallel point. Wow, it makes sense. It's literally across the street. But no, I want to get into that, and I want to, you know, get into the three S's of sports, scholars, and social. Duh, did I just forget that I renamed my own subtopic? Social, obviously. Hope everyone's catching on that new adjustment. But okay, let's talk about this. Although we're under the social subcategory, the S1 of the day, we're going to go right into music. And today I'm going to be specifically talking about dress and what's perceived to be trendy, you know, cool, you know, controversial, a handful of things. I'm a hip hop fan personally. You know, I enjoy hip hop, but I enjoy music as a whole. I'm a huge Tupac fan. Anybody that knows me will. I love Tupac. That is, honestly, I mean, not too many people know, but me and Pac are actually cousins. Self-appointed, I decided that we were cousins, and so we're cousins now. But man, I love Tupac. But I mean, other than that, you know, hip-hop's cool, hip-hop's fun, it's trendy, whatever's hot in the moment. And with that being said, you know, to be a legend in hip-hop, you kind of have to foresee some things. You know, Pac, for example, Pac was such a legend, he foresaw his death and rapped about it, you know. But the same things in terms of being in hip-hop and understanding fashion. And, you know, because fashion is such a large entity and part of, you know, the hip-hop industry, that some of these artists are able to land, you know, million-dollar retail deals with different clothing lines or shoe brands, things of that nature. So, second to Tupac, my second favorite artist, this is, you know, maybe controversial for some of y'all, but he's a legend, is Lil Wayne, you know. As I get older, I start to understand more Wayne's lyrics and why, I guess, parents aren't fond of him at moments and things. But I grew up in the Lil Wayne era, and I loved Wayne. Oh my gosh, Wayne was my favorite artist. And I remember in the early 2000s, when Wayne kind of started skateboarding, he had released, you know, a rock album, which was different, but it was very cool because I could appreciate it for the risk he was taking. I mean, some people said he's such a big star that it wasn't a risk for him or this, that, but I respect that. For getting out of your comfort zone, you have to respect someone for making that effort, even if they fail. That's deep too. But let's really digress. And in the early 2000s, Lil Wayne was actually wearing skinny jeans. Does anybody remember this? Early 2000s. Somebody get on your smartphone right now. Like, Google this. Or ask Siri. Lil Wayne in skinny jeans. Like, he was doing this a long time ago. And I, now, you know, hindsight is obviously 2020. And now that I'm in 2017, I look in my closet. Mind you, I'm victim of this too. I remember hearing all the criticism Wayne was getting, even from his fans, from other celebrities, this, that, for wearing skinny jeans and whatever, whatever. And people would say this, that, and the third. Now, as I was previously saying, I look in my closet. I have skinny jeans. I have fitted jeans. And I love them. Oh, man. So think about the vision that this man had to foresee this. And a lot of people, some critics, were questioning Wayne's sexuality in the early 2000s because he decided to wear some fitted or tight jeans. Now, in, you know, the end of 2017, it's like majority, I would say about, I don't know, somebody take a poll and get back to me, or take a survey or something. I would say about 73, I like that number, 73% of people wear skinny to fitted jeans. Wow. And this man was a pioneer and questioned for his vision and fashion. I think this is one of the many reasons why Wayne is a legend, because he foresaw what he was doing. And I thought, oof, boy, listen. So let's fast forward. Let's get back to 2017, where we are today. And I want to kind of continue on this Lil Wayne. So today in hip hop, what some people consider to be Wayne's counterpart in the modern day culture, to be a rapper named Young Thug. Once again, I can't lie. I am a fan of Young Thug. I listen to him. But again, you know, nobody really holds a candle to Tupac for me personally. So Young Thug, he makes a lot of music. I think he's pretty good. He's a talented guy. Again, he steps out of his comfort zone. He produces a lot of different genres of music, similar to Lil Wayne. He has a very different sound. But I'm gonna need you to pull out your smartphone again. And can you please Google Young Thug Jeffrey album? Go ahead. Just do that real quick. I'm gonna take a sip, because you get thirsty talking up here. I said, man, I love to talk. This will be fun. My mouth was dry after the first episode. I was like, oh my gosh. So Google that real quick. Okay. Yes. In this album cover, Young Thug is wearing a dress. Now, let's digest this. How do we feel about Young Thug wearing a dress, first of all? Obviously, you know, it's 2017. Excuse me. Oof. It's 2017. You know, as conversation develops and happens more and more, people are tending to come out with their sexual orientation, which is incredible. I applaud that so much. That's one of the most courageous things you can do, and that you just have to be comfortable in your skin for that. But with that being said, is Young Thug trying to tell us something about him wearing a dress? Or is he saying it's okay to wear a dress? Or am I looking too deeply into this? You know, should Young Thug just be able to wear a dress? And for all we know, he could be on some futuristic trend, just like Lil Wayne in the skinny jeans. Will Thug have other guys wearing dresses in about 10 years? Am I tripping? is anybody following me on this? Like, you know, like I said, Wayne was a visionary in terms of what he foresaw with these skinny jeans. And, you know, today everyone's wearing skinny jeans. But it's interesting to me, too, that Young Thug often draws Lil Wayne comparisons or contractions, you know, comparisons, compare and contract. And, you know, like, is he onto something here? Like, what is going on? So I thought that was interesting. I thought that was some food for thought, and just make the connection of, you know, there also being so many parallels to Wayne and Young Thug. You know, what do you all think? I've also thought it's cool to see in hip hop how women have been more empowered in terms of not, you know, I'm very pro female, first of all, very pro woman. I think, you know, it's a very hard and competitive world for women and different standpoints and aspects of life that men don't even have to think about. But in terms of empowerment for women in hip hop, I'm speaking from a lyrical standpoint at the moment. And I think it's powerful because you're now able to see, you know, women rap tough. You know, you're like, ha da ha da ha. You know, I think it's so cool that, you know, it no longer has to be, you know, all the way sexual or even any at all. And I think, you know, it's cool that this, I feel like this is it's almost a new light to hip hop, that some of these women are opening different avenues in terms of how, I mean, first of all, it starts with your lyrics, with what you're saying. You know, so now that some of these women are beginning to break the trend of having to rap, you know, about sexual content, but about empowering themselves, you know, making money moves. You know, I think that's forever dope. I think that trend is almost long overdue, and I think that will have a good effect, hopefully, on future influences that women may have in this industry of music. S2, sports. Let's talk a little bit about sports. I'm talking about basketball, Jones. Psych, no. So sports, I think it's very cool and respectable and commendable and courageous that some athletes are coming out with their sexual orientation and preference. And I think that's important, especially when the higher the level of the sport, the more recognition that individual will have. So it's easy for me to say it's heroic of them from this far away, but to be in their position, you know, you have to understand these people are individuals and humans themselves. So they have fear. They feel fear. You know, these people can feel pain, embarrassment. So, and they're on such a higher platform because of their status that everything's so magnified. And I think that's very cool. I think it's even more commendable when you have some of these college athletes, when they're kids, who find it in them from within to leave themselves vulnerable and expose themselves to the world, to let them know what their sexual preference is and who they are and how they feel. And, you know, I think that's empowering because at times it's hard to feel that you have a voice and let your voice be known. It's sometimes hard to accomplish both of those goals at once. It's similar to being, you know, it's hard to be liked and respected at the same time. Obviously, everyone wants both, but only a handful of individuals can truly acquire both. Think about that. I want to talk about why it's okay in certain, I guess, okay, no, not even certain sports. I'm going to talk about basketball specifically. Why is it that individual sexual preference is kind of varied when it comes to basketball? For example, there's WNBA stars whom are openly gay, and I think that's incredible. I think that's awesome. But there aren't many NBA stars whom are openly gay. And what? And you know, and I get the pressures of society are different, and we live in a social world where the pressures of society often affect our actions. And, you know, I fall victim, or I play into the game myself, you know. And I think that's for us to decide whether we're going to play victim or play into the game. And if we're playing into the game, we're going to have to make our own decisions. So I play victim. I do a little bit of both, you know. It's easy to let society's pressures overcome you or overwhelm you. And I think it's important for us to become conscious of what's going on. And I've found that so interesting for so long now that we have one type of view as a society, you know, literally from the sexual preference of a male and a female so heavily that it depends. It's literally the same sport. And if you're around any basketball player, all ball players act the same, at least basketball. Like, I mean, not the same. Okay, I retract that. I retract that so much. That is not true. But this goes back to everything I'm initially saying, that it's easy to group and become in this self-group thought. Oh, I'm a basketball player. Oh, I think like this. Or for an individual to group another group of individuals. Think about that. Like, that's different. Let's understand that one individual does not make a whole. So if I go somewhere, for example, and I steal, more likely than not, if someone sees that, they're going to be like, yeah, I knew he was going to steal, right? You know, I'm a large, handsome black man with tattoos, you know, muscular, and I could see why people are afraid of me due to how society thinks. But at the other end of the spectrum, let's say I go to a high-end restaurant leave a big tip, that's pretty much unnoticed. Wonder how I feel about that. Like, should I have just done what was expected of me and not tipped? Or should I leave a big tip and because it's the right thing to do, right? I don't know. You know, that's just, who knows? Food for thought, huh? So finally, let's transition to S3, our scholar segment. I apologize, the scholar segment is going to be a little shortened just due to time obligations and things of that nature. But today, I want to speak on what determines attraction for us. Is it genetics or is this a learned behavior? You know, it goes back to the original argument of all arguments, nurture versus nature. Like, are these learned behaviors or are these self-appointed natural instincts? And the question I want to present is, what is attraction? Are these learned behaviors? You know, whom we're attracted to and this, that. You know, obviously, you know, the nature standpoint will be backed by scientific data and this, that, and whatever, whatever. Then the day, is it the chicken or the egg? You know, who was first? And I think it's easy to see and understand both sides of this argument. For example, you know, you can say, you know, science and research these days has now proven that there's a gene that allows this genetic makeup or this, that. Or you can look at what I was referring to earlier in terms of society and how the pressures of society can sway our opinions and thoughts and actions. That can be the same for attraction. You know, for those who have been told they can't, makes it feel so much better when you do. And even if you don't, you try. You know, just because you're told you can't do something, just because you're 5'4" and I say you can't dunk, and you probably know you can't dunk, but you might try. And just that effort to go against the grain feels good sometimes. And I'm curious, you know, in terms of sexual preference and orientation, I'm really curious to know, like, how much is to go against the, not necessarily to go against the grain, but brought on to individuals from social norms, pressures, and understandings that they want to go against the grain. That certain individuals may find it easier or more compelling to do what they're told they can't. For example, this goes for heterosexual orientation too. Let's say, for example, I'm a large black man, as I was previously saying, and, you know, due to the pressures and obligations that society puts on me and that I feel on the daily, I am told by society that white women won't like me. So is that why I like white girls? Or does that compel me to black women? Or do I make a left turn and say, hey, I think I like Asian girls? Or who knows? Maybe just because society told me that, I then decided to turn homosexual? Like, what? How much does society's role really play on what we find or view as attractive? And that's the same thing. You can relay this to anything. You know, today's topic is just sexuality, but you can relay this to anything in terms of grades. You know, let's say my father brought this to me as a child. You know, why is it that in the black culture, it's cool to play dumb? Is that from societal pressures that we think it's cool to play down books? Or is that a learned behavior? Or are we, as a race or, you know, a species, whatever you want to call black folk, are we dumb? You know, like, is this just naturally how we are? I think this is so powerful. Like, try to digest that. Why would a group of people perceive it to be okay or perceive it as a positive to downplay their intelligence? I ponder. Well, everyone, once again, I want to say thank you for coming to the show. We shortened it a little bit this time, episode 2. It was a great show. I appreciate everyone coming out. I'm excited for what's coming up. Episode 3. again, a lot of big things in the works. I just want to put out a reminder that in episode 4, we're going to start having some guests and interviews and things of that nature, becoming a little more interactive. But again, thank you everyone for coming. I appreciate your time. Jay.
Yo.
Jigga Man.
Yeah.
Hit the people with the facts, buddy.
Yerk. Okay. All right. I'll do that. All right. What's up, people? It's Jay, Justice, Jigga. Just want to echo what Miles said. Appreciate the love. Appreciate the support. That was a pretty interesting episode, I must say. That's why we sat on the post. You got to keep an open mind, because these are the type of conversations we're going to be having. Is, you know, these interesting, you know, topics that definitely get your mind thinking. So, just appreciate the love and support so much. We got to 200 likes on our Facebook last week just because of how much you guys were sharing and following and liking it. It boosted our postings, and that was definitely a goal for us, was to get 200 likes, and we did that. So thank you so much. Have a great Sunday. We will see you next week. Alrighty. Mookie Mel Show, out.